Now, as we continue with our studies in the book of Daniel, we're going to look today at chapter 10. Let me read just a few verses from the beginning of the chapter. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true. The time appointed was long. He understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. Behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep in my face, and my face toward the ground. The Lord bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the word that has been translated into a language we can read and understand. We thank Thee for this divine revelation of Thy will and Thy counsels. As we read and study it again, wilt Thou help us, O God, to take in these wonderful truths and to live our lives in view of the fact that the day is fast approaching when we're going to see the Lord, the one whom, having not seen, we love. Bless each listener now, we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, as we continue with these studies, I want you to take note of this. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 contain a remarkable prophecy as revealed to Daniel, the aged prophet. The prophecy covers a series of events commencing in the days of Daniel and culminating with the second coming of Christ, when every knee shall bow to him. Chapter 10 sets before us preparation for the final vision. Chapter 11 gives us prophecies concerning the north and the south in relation to Judah. Chapter 12 gives us prophecies concerning the remnant of Israel during the end time, which is still future. First of all, then, we have preparation for the final vision. That is in chapter 10. Now, in the first 9 verses which I have read to you, we have Daniel's moral attitude in the days of declension. Now, sometimes when people find themselves living in the midst of declension, they are apt to give up. They are apt to think that everything is lost and all is vain. But we find that Daniel here, even in the days of declension, his moral attitude is one of meditation. Daniel's attitude of self-denial was a voluntary expression of inward sorrow of spirit. It was the evidence of reality as he sought the face of God, and Daniel continued in this state for 21 days. Now, I'm going to draw your attention to something that may interest you. At this particular time, a great revival has taken place. That is, quite a number of Daniel's people who were taken captive at the time of the Babylonish captivity, and some of their descendants, those who have been born there during those 70 years, now they've come into the time when the Babylonish Empire has given way to the Medes and the Persians. And this is in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And at this time, quite a number of these people have gone back. They've come back from Babylon. They've come back to Jerusalem. They have given of their substance. There's the rebuilding of the temple. It was called Zerubbabel's temple. The second temple was built. Now, in order to understand the background to all this, you would require to read the historical books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And there you find the remnant had gone back. They had busied themselves, and every man applied himself to the work. There was the building of the temple, followed by the building of the walls, of course, in Jerusalem. Now the question may arise in some minds. Since Daniel was a student of the Word, since Daniel knew that the time had come for God to act on behalf of his people, then why didn't Daniel go back with them? If Daniel was so spiritual in his thinking, if Daniel understood the movements of God, then why didn't Daniel go back to Jerusalem and be a leader in this great revival? Now that is quite a good question to ask, because at this time I'm suggesting to you that Daniel is engaged in real good spiritual thought. He's meditating on the things of God. And you might say, now why didn't he go back? Well, let me say something. The people who went back thought that their captivity was at an end. They saw themselves going back, as it were, with freedom and with liberty. But Daniel knew something better. Daniel had learned from God that it wasn't just a matter of 70 years, but it was a matter of 70 times 7 before that God would reinstate his people into the land. Now that should come with freshness to all our hearts today. For some people are of the impression that again, that nation has been taken back into the land. You see, there was the second time when the temple was destroyed in the year 70, destroyed by the Romans. And these people, some of them murdered, others fled, and they were peeled and scattered amongst the nations almost for over 1900 years. And now they've gone back, and people are saying, well, God has taken them back again, etc., etc. I remind you what I've said in past studies. They're back there in unbelief. And there are those today who know that they're back there in unbelief and who understand the scriptures. And the great tribulation is yet to come upon them. However, Daniel knew this. Daniel knew that the going back at that time was a temporary revival, that it would fail again. Daniel remained down there in that particular country where he had been taken captive. And at this time, he's still in meditation. The fact of the matter is, the man is broken in spirit, for he realizes this, that in these days, he says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Here is a man in the presence of God, afflicting his own soul, in prayer, praying no doubt for God's people, praying for divine principles, praying for God's property. Then, we discover this, that not only do we see Daniel's moral attitude as one of meditation on the things of God, but we see the manifestation. When Daniel lifted up his eyes, he beheld something that was heavenly. He was raised from the depths of despair to heavenly glory by the appearance of the heavenly visitor. Verse 5 says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ephah. Now, may I suggest at this time, if we are going to take a practical lesson from this section of the Word of God and apply it to ourselves, and put ourselves, as it were, right in Daniel's shoes, we see Daniel's moral attitude in the days of declension. First, meditation, meditating upon the things of God, not this silly kind of meditation that people talk about today. No, but meditation where you get down and read and study what God has revealed in His Word. Then there's the manifestation. Daniel lifted up his eyes. And you know, when we lift up our eyes beyond the sordid things of this life, and you lift up and you get a view of things from the heavenly point of view, you begin to see that God is working all things after the counsel of His own will. And God will not be defeated. And so there is the manifestation. Daniel lifted up his eyes to behold something that was heavenly. He was raised from the depths of despair to heavenly glory by the appearance of the heavenly visitor. And then there is the mastery. Daniel was left without human support. As the others forsook him, he was left without physical support, and he fell down as if dead. But in his utter weakness, he was given the mastery. Daniel then had to learn his own weakness. He had to learn the weakness of human support. For he distinctly says, "Therefore I was left alone." Those that had been with him, they left him. They didn't see anything. They didn't hear what he had. They fled to hide themselves. But Daniel remained. And Daniel himself was weak in body. You remember, he was an old man, over 80, even at this time. But in his weakness and in his helplessness, here is where he learns still to depend upon the living God. Your Daniel has done that all his days, even when he was a young man, a young prince of Judah, taken away captive in the very beginning. He relied upon God. He put all his confidence in his God. And here is an old man, he's learning again that to gain the mastery, you must have all your confidence and your faith in God. Let me ask every listener at this time, if Daniel was living in a day of declension then, and things were not what they had been, likewise today we have a parallel. We also are living in days of declension. What was Daniel's moral attitude then? What should our moral attitude be today? First of all, we should be spending time in meditation upon the true things of God. And then, of course, as you do that, there comes a manifestation when you come to understand from the reading of the Word of God that God is working from behind the scenes. Then you gain the mastery, and you're strengthened in spirit, strengthened in heart, able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, from verses 10 through 14, we are introduced to a very interesting study here again in preparation for the final vision. Here, it's angelic ministry and the evil opposition. There's the ministry of the messenger, and then we're introduced to one that I like to term the mischief maker. Now, look what it says in these verses. Verse 10, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Here we have angelic ministry and the evil opposition. Now, when you think of the ministry of the messenger, this angelic ministry was the means of bringing strength to Daniel, so that he came to his knees, then stood up ready to receive the message. Now, I might say this, if it will clear your mind any. Do not imagine that God is going to send a shining one or an angel to come into your room or into your house and give you some special revelation. Now, I must say this in all fairness. When I hear people say that God has spoken to them and given them a special revelation, I don't believe it. For here's why. God is not giving fresh revelations today to anyone. We have the Bible, and the Bible is complete, and we're warned not to take anything from it, and not to add anything to it, and certainly we shouldn't alter anything in it. If you say something which is already in the Word of God, then that does not come to you as a fresh revelation. That's already been revealed. And we should not take anything away from what has been revealed. And certainly we should not add anything to it. So do not, please, imagine that God is going to send some angel to you, as he did to Daniel, to give a fresh revelation. Nevertheless, let me remind you, as you read through the Bible, there is such a thing as angelic ministry. Now, if you go through the Old Testament, you'll find there was angelic ministry at that time in the Old Testament. You'll also find that there was angelic ministry at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth. In fact, angels ministered to him. Angels proclaimed his birth. They proclaimed his birth to the shepherds in the plains of Bethlehem. An angel appeared to him and strengthened him at the time of his temptation in the wilderness. Then again, angels proclaimed his resurrection, and angels came and delivered Peter, or an angel came and delivered Peter. Now look, here's what the Word of God says about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? But now, you'll discover this, that after you move from the time of the apostles, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, throughout all the epistles, you have no further mention of angelic ministry or angels appearing to Christians in this day and generation. They may be ministering and ministering to us, but they are not visible. When you come to the book of Revelation, after the church has gone, then again you'll find angelic ministry. Now the question arises, why then should we not expect angelic ministry today or angels to appear? I'll tell you why. Because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And the Holy Spirit within you is a greater power than all the angels of God's creation. So therefore, you do not have angelic ministry at the present time. They were sent forth to do special things. But over against this now we have the mischief maker. Here we are given a little insight into the unseen forces which are in conflict behind the affairs of human government, when demon powers seek to influence human governors and oppose the purposes of God. Now there is where we should stand today, realizing this, that while we do not see demons, and while we do not see angels, nevertheless, there are the powers of God, the powers of God's kingdom, which is a kingdom of light. And there are the powers of evil associated with the kingdom of darkness, which is the devil's kingdom. And these things are in opposition one against the other. And so we find here, verses 10 through 14, there is angelic ministry and the evil opposition. But now, from verse 15 through verse 21, we have divine ministry to prepare Daniel for the further revelation. There is the touch that strengthened Daniel, and there is the truth that was revealed to Daniel. Let me read these verses to you. Verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows have turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Here is divine ministry to prepare Daniel for further revelation. Now notice, the touch that strengthened Daniel. Daniel may be a man greatly beloved of God, but nevertheless, he had his times of perplexity. He had his times of weakness. He had his times when he required to be strengthened. I ask you in all fairness, isn't this true regarding every person? I don't care how spiritual you may be, my friend. I don't care how honest you may be in your reading and studying of the Word. I don't care how much you try to bear your testimony for God. You may be a person also that's greatly beloved of God, but haven't you had your times of perplexity? Daniel had his times of perplexity thinking about God's people. Many of them had gone back at this time to Jerusalem to rebuild a temple and to rebuild the walls and get set up again. But Daniel is still perplexed, for he knew that there were 77s determined upon God's people, and in that time great persecution would come upon them. Oh, he was perplexed. Not only so, he had his time of weakness. Now when you and I come to times of perplexity, we need God to help us. We need our minds to be garrisoned by the peace of God. We need the Word of God to enlighten us. And Daniel at that time was in a state of perplexity. Also, he was in a state of weakness. And when you're in a state of weakness, you require to be strengthened. You know, it's one of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter. He told Peter, he says, Peter, the day will come when you'll be converted. And I'll tell you what I want you to do then. I want you to strengthen your brethren. Again, when you come to the book of Revelation, and you read through the letters to the seven churches, chapters 2 and 3, you'll come across a little statement like this, strengthen the things that remain. You see, my friend, we need to be strong. Paul wrote to his young friend and he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've got to be strong. And so therefore there are times, my friend, when we feel so weak. Things seem to be against us. And in those times of weakness, we need to be strengthened. Again, let me remind you, Paul commended the elders at Ephesus with these words. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Peter likewise said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The thought is this, you've got to have spiritual food in order to be strengthened. So therefore, in our days of perplexity, we need to be enlightened. In our days of weakness, we need to be strengthened. Now, if such a man as Daniel was perplexed, and such a man felt weak, you needn't worry, my friend. You're going to be perplexed too. And you're going to feel your days of weakness, but God comes and he strengthens us. Now, there's the truth that was revealed to Daniel. This truth was recorded by God, and should be recognized by man. The truth was relevant to Daniel in that day, and likewise, that truth is relevant to us at this present time. And as you go on through chapters 11 and 12, you'll discover exactly the prophecies that were revealed to Daniel and recorded here in this book for our instruction.